Hey, everybody. It's your best friend, Sarah. I'm so happy to be back. We were here on and off, but there were a lot of best ofs, which was actually really fun to listen to. Some from so far back. But here we are. And boy, what is it? Like 3 months ago, I think, on the show, I talked about how I was grossed out that Rory used warm water in our shared electric toothbrush water pick thing and didn't even think about that the gross thing to people was that we use the same toothbrush. I didn't think anything of it. I was shocked by what a big deal it was. And then I had to promote my show, the musical, The Bedwetter, and I went on The View, and they were just all over me about how disgusting it was. And I thought I made a really good point. I was like, don't we all kiss our lovers where we pee? How is sharing a toothbrush gross when that's, a given? But they just thought I was even grosser. And, you know, it's very interesting how that affected us. Because not consciously, or at least not consciously for me, first of all, Rory's hearing from all his bros back home in Long Island about, you use the same toothbrush, it's gross, man, or whatever, seeing them in the news. And, you know, I forget that that I am not just representing myself anymore. And, he's going to get a lot of shit for stuff I talk about on here. And listen, he knows that's just what comes with it. But also, I feel a little bad. I just didn't even think twice when I mentioned it. I was just talking about how gross it was that he uses warm water in it. I like cold water. I don't know. But someone did point out to me recently that you wash dishes and stuff with warm water, and so you're washing your teeth. That makes sense. I don't know. I guess that was a good point, but it grossed me out because to me it just is like saliva. Point being what? I think maybe unconsciously, maybe it was conscious on his part, but we have not been using the same toothbrush anymore. So congratulations, society. You shamed my lover enough that he pulled out his, Sonicare Fusion that he had from his house. Now we have more counter space taken up because he has to use a separate, the exact same toothbrush. It's ridiculous. But there you go. You win, society. Let's take some calls.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hi, Sarah. I've heard you mention a couple of times about how wealthy women would always have access to an abortion. And I just wanted to draw your attention to the New York Times article, "The Persistent Myth That Restricting Abortion Rates Won't Affect the Rich." This was just a really eye-opening article for me. The author talks about how, yes, abortion bans will disproportionately affect poor women and women of color. And she's not trying to cry for wealthy women, but she is just pointing out that it's going to affect everyone. Sometimes needing an abortion means a medical emergency where traveling across state lines would not be enough if you need to be treated locally and immediately. And also that the Roe reversal could easily become a total federal ban in which there would be no blue state clinics to travel to. And she also says that,
right,
you know, there's the assumption that abortion providers would be willing to break the law for the wealthy. But she says, when faced with prosecution or losing a medical license, how many doctors will actually take this risk even when money is offered? So she makes a lot of really great points. Check it out if you can. Thanks. Bye.
You're right. True. Good point. Sucks for everyone. I mean, I don't know if this is like how much that was worth a New York Times op-ed, but yes, it could also be sometimes really affect wealthy women. But I do think that as we fight for the rights of the most vulnerable, it doesn't take away any rights for the less vulnerable. like we need to get Roe back. We need to have abortion be legal and available to everyone. The whole thing's a tragedy for everyone. Yes, that is a point. That woman made a point. Is it a good point? Yeah, I guess. Yes, you're right. I'm not to sound annoyed or anything. It's just, you know, I think when people point out that this is really a war on the poor, that there's a lot of merit in that. But you're right. There are going to be cases where wealthy women are sent home with ectopic pregnancies and just have a fetus die inside them at home in great pain. The woman's in great, you know, I mean, just. So there you go. The whole thing is really the tip off of the end of liberty and certainly the acceptance of this intense hatred of women. And you can say, oh, there are women that are anti-choice. Yeah, sure. But it's a hatred of women. You know, I mean, I say in my stand-up, it's like, make no mistake. If fetuses weren't in our body, they'd be everywhere. We'd spray for them. So don't think for a second this isn't about putting women in their place. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah, it's Taylor calling from Colorado. So I find that I am still struggling with the death of my father. He took his own life when I was 18. I think it was about 2 weeks before I was set to move into my dorm room
Jesus
that it happened.
Christ.
And it was just very abrupt and out of the blue. And he was the one person in my life that I thought would never leave me, loved me unconditionally, and was like my number one fan. And he ended up hurting me the worst. So now I'm 32 and kind of still have nightmares about that day. It's caused me to develop severe trust issues within all of my relationships.
You think?
Whether it be romantic relationship or family or friends. I've been called cold several times, and I just find it hard to lend an ear to someone who is going through like a really minute struggle, and I don't want to be that person. Anyways, if you have any
can't be a competition.
Let me know. All right. Love you. Love the podcast. Bye.
Fuck. I'm so sorry. God damn it. And here we are about 14 years later. Not that long, is it? It's not as long as it sounds. This is this is getting in the way of your happiness. Needless to say, and I can feel your sadness. I literally feel fucking rage for you. All I can say definitively is you got to talk about it. One-on-one therapy, grief counseling, a grief group, I think you'd benefit so much from, because not only would you be able to talk about your story, your situation, and how you're feeling and how it's impacting you, but you're going to hear other people and you're going to have empathy for them. It's not a competition. And you're going to be able to help them and they're going to be able to help you. I just think it's a really smart idea if you haven't already done that. Also, you need to, one, be a detective in your own life. The client, you. The mystery, what ways have you coped with this tragedy that do not serve you any longer? You know, it's kind of like when you hurt your knee and then you're like limping or you you walk differently to favor the other knee so you're not on that knee. And then what happens? All the muscles around your knee and your foot, you get all these other maladies from avoiding that pain. And that's, I think, emotionally what happens when you develop these walls and these things that keep you from ever getting hurt again, or to keep you from thinking about what happened, et cetera. You get other maladies from favoring that. Was that clear? I don't know, but I think you know what I mean. So your body has dealt with this massive trauma in ways like putting up walls, not letting people get close to you so they don't abandon you or hurt you, etc. And when these ways in which you have coped no longer serve you, like you're having a hard time in relationship, you're having a hard time getting close, you push people away, you seem cold, that's hurting your wellness. That's hurting your chance at happiness. And you have to get aware of what's up and start unlearning those survival skills that you developed way back when you were 18. I mean, God, I'm so fucking sorry. That is a level of surely unconscious on his part abandonment that is like, wow. You know, Chelsea Handler had a kind of adjacent kind of loss with her brother when she was 9, who was her person, you know, who was never going to abandon her, who was her best friend and her support system. And he left and died in a hiking accident. And she wrote a great book about it called Life Will Be the Death of Me, I think. And you should read it. It's really good. But boy, that shit is just a mystery. You know, I had a friend, a comedy writer, who was very close with his daughter. Adored her. Talked to me about her all the time. And a happy-seeming guy. Really, truly. And one night, he took a bottle of pills and put a plastic bag over his head. And, gee, he certainly was not thinking of his daughter in that moment, but I guess the pain of life was that great for him. I don't know. So how could someone love their child so much the way one loves a child and still kill themselves? I don't know the answer, but it happens. For some people, life is just too much. Or in that moment, it was too much. And he couldn't see that it was a moment that would pass. You know, I always say, put suicide off for tomorrow. Boy, oh boy, is that the thing to procrastinate about. Because you're leaving a lot of people spending the rest of their lives wondering what they did wrong. And you did nothing wrong. I have to believe you know that. But all this to say, your dad's suicide had nothing to do with you. But again, isn't that in itself painful? You know, you thought you were his world, and you probably were the best part of his entire world. I'm not equipped to help you, but I am able to know that you need to talk to other people about this. People who are going through it themselves, people who have been through it, people who have studied it. You owe this to yourself. You owe this for your chance at happiness, for your chance at love, contentment. Be the brave that your father wasn't able to be. Research this from all sides. Reach out to people who knew him in different ways than you. Old army buddies, friends from work, relatives, your mother, if she's still with us, his siblings. Be that detective. Be that journalist. Get these details because you're going to have some better understanding than you do now, for sure. At least a little bit, maybe a massive amount. You may think as an adult you know everything there is to know about him and what happened. You don't. So talk to anyone you can think of that had a relationship to him, because yours was very different. Even outside of grief groups and all those things, to talk to other people touched by this specific suicide could yield a lot of interesting, good stuff for you. I am unqualified to help you, but there you go. There's my 2 cents. Good luck.
Here's some ads.
Article, baby. God, I love Article. And I just got compliments on my dining room chairs just the other day. I got my dining room chairs from Article before they were ever sponsors. And since then, I've gotten a queen bed frame that is so stunning, gorgeous mid-century. It's just the best. Article is the easiest way to make your space look beautiful. Let me show you how. They combine the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort and simplicity of shopping online. Article's team of designers focuses on beautifully crafted pieces, quality materials, and durable construction. Its fast, affordable shipping is available across the USA and Canada and is free on orders over $999. And they cut out the middleman and sell directly to you. No showrooms, no salespeople, no retail markups. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/Sarah and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. That's article.com/Sarah for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Helix Sleep, baby. Oh, yeah. I have a mattress from Helix, and it's in our guest room, and it is so comfortable. I often find myself napping in there. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress just made for kids. So how do you know which Helix mattress works for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes, and your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattress is great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. Mattress is great for spinal alignment to prevent morning aches and pains. I took the quiz. I got the Helix Midnight Medium Feel mattress, and I love it, as I said before. And guess what? They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Doesn't get better than that. And they'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. But you will, trust me. Or don't. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It is even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Sarah. That's helixsleep.com/Sarah. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
And we're back.
Hey, Sarah. I recently was invited to Burning Man, sort of last minute since it's in 3 weeks. And my boyfriend would be going, and he's gone before and has wonderful things to say about it. I'd never been, so I guess I'm wondering what your thoughts are on it, if you've ever been before or know anyone who's gone and liked it, because my dilemma is that I'd be taking off a week of work and spending a whole lot of clams to do this. Yeah, I want to hear what my favorite comedian thinks about it. Loved your play. And hope all is well.
Oh my
God.
Shout
out to Rabbi Susie and Schleppy. Love you. Bye.
Oh, man. I'm not a good person to ask because the idea of Burning Man is literally my hell. The idea of just being in a massive group of thousands with outhouses and no escape, you know, is not my idea of joy. When I was in my 20s, I'd be all over that shit. I would take some mushrooms. I would meet people. I would have bare feet. I would love every aspect of it, every aspect of it. But as I got older, and to be honest, recognizable, there's no place to go, you know, It's too scary for me. That just sounds awful to me. But you might love it. Are you like 30 or under? Maybe 32 even? I just feel like people are younger, older now. You have to decide for yourself. Does it sound good? You know, are you fine pissing and shitting in an outhouse after a long line? Are you cool buying bottles of water for a lot of money? Are you? I mean, the one thing is, if you're taking off a week of work, I wouldn't be at Burning Man the whole time. I would save like 2 to 3 days at the end for just recuperating, because I think it's like, you know, you're going to be partying hard. I think, isn't that what? I mean, that said, the age thing, I'm being ageist. Susan Sarandon goes to Burning Man and fucking loves it. So it just has to do with what you're into. You know, I don't even know what Burning Man is, other than I know people go. Is it a music festival, or is it like more of a, you know, burning a big thing and dancing around it or some shit? I don't know what it is, but I know what it is. You know what I mean? So just ask your partner all about it, get all the details, and make a decision to you know, based on the shit you like and don't like. I don't know. Thanks for coming to the show. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah, this is Doug in San Diego. I've been a fan of yours for probably close to 30 years since you were on Mr. Show with Bob and David, which is my all-time favorite show. And I just wondered how you got the part on that show. Like, did you just have to audition?
Or I blew
did you know
them.
Somebody? And then I was also wondering if you're a fan of Better Call Saul. That just ended the sixth season, and the finale was last week. And if you can, you know, believe how good of an actor Bob Odenkirk has become, and even got nominated for some Emmys, I believe. But anyway, I love that show too, and just wanted to get your thoughts to see if you are also a fan. All right, hope all is well. Love you.
I am a huge fan of Bob, and I have not seen. I just watched the first episode of the first season of Better Call Saul. I only about 2 years ago watched Breaking Bad. So I'm just behind on the whole thing. And so I'm frustrated that I can't take part in this massive celebration of the brilliance that was Better Call Saul. But I will in a few years at the longest. And then I'll want to talk about it and everyone will be over it. But I'm not surprised that Bob is a beautiful, brilliant, dramatic actor, because his comedy is so truthful. I mean, it's not like he's talking about his life in his comedy. He's actually quite absurdist, but he plays it all very real. So when you play comedy very real, you play dramedy very real. You play drama very real, you know, so that I think there's a easier shift sometimes from comedy to drama than drama to comedy, although there's always some people that are brilliant at it, like Alec Baldwin, Tom Hanks, John Goodman, blah, 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 going from drama to comedy. But, you know, there are some great dramatic actors that just think they have to put some weird comedy sauce on comedy, and it's a little rough. But yeah, Bob, God, he's just brilliant. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Rachel, a musician from Brooklyn. I am approaching the age of 25 this year, and I'm thinking a lot about how I feel like the pandemic stole a significant portion of my 20s, and I'm living my 20s in a different way than I always anticipated, partially due to having a partner, which I didn't really anticipate having a person that I foresee being my forever person.
Same.
In my 20s, but I do have that person.
Not same.
So the pandemic forced us into a very different version of our lives than we could have ever anticipated. And I am recently feeling really pissed off at the pandemic, pissed off all over again, just at what we lost and the time that we lost. So I'm curious to hear how someone in a different age group feels affected by that, if you feel that same sense of loss. So thanks. I love your podcast.
Yeah, sure. It sucks. I especially feel horrible for people kind of in your age group where life is just starting and you're what, you know, most of you moved home with your parents and it sucks. These are really important years. Everyone lost 2 years at least, you know, but, you know, some people found parts of themselves and who they are and what they want in those 2 years. You didn't just have to watch all of The Office, you know, or whatever. And sure, be mad. You should be mad. But what happened to you did happen to everyone. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm older but for young people, toddlers, people going into first grade, sixth grade, all those critical age groups that where life kind of stopped. Yeah, you can be mad and it certainly is warranted, but what will change from you being mad? I don't know. It's really just bad vibes for you. You're an artist. What you feel should affect your art, good or bad. When does the best art of our lifetimes and beyond happen? When it has to find a way. And this is one of those times, you know. I'm just waiting for all the books to come out from your generation, from the one after you, the toddlers and the young children that have gone through this and how it has changed the trajectory of their lives. There's going to be like generational books, I think, you know, that come out as time goes by talking about living through this. But yeah, you can be mad, sure, but do something with that anger, see it through at least, have it change something or affect something. You know, we're living through a fucking insane time. So, you know, you can be mad. You can be mad on your behalf. You could be mad on a lot of people's behalf. You know, over a million people lost their lives in this country to this 2 to 3 year inconvenience for you. So I don't mean to say like children are starving in, you know, China, eat your peas, but you know, eat your peas a little.
Here's some ads.
I love that sound. You know why? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your own business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Synchronize your online and in-person sales. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/Sarah, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/Sarah right now. Shopify.com/Sarah. Away. I love Away. So Away makes these suitcases. You can fit so much shit in these tiny suitcases. It's unbelievable. They make all sorts of sizes, but boy, that small one can fit so much. I just went to Vegas with Rory. He brought his Away travel suitcase. I had to bring a bigger one, and still he was able to squeeze more stuff from my suitcase in his tiny away suitcase. We love these. We have three of them. Guys, traveling can be so stressful. Why not make sure your luggage isn't another source for that stress? Away makes suitcases, bags, and other travel accessories designed to make moving through the world a lot more seamless. All of Away's suitcases are built to last. There's nothing you can do to these suitcases. With durable, but and yet extremely lightweight exteriors that can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. Every suitcase comes with an interior organization system that includes a built-in compression pad to help you pack more in. It's incredible. They even include a removable laundry bag that helps you separate your clean clothes from your dirty ones. Plus, there's a 100-day free trial on everything Away makes. Take the product out on the road, live with it, travel with it. Even get lost with it for 100 days. If you decide it's not for you, you won't. You can return any non-personalized item for a full refund during that period. No ifs, ands, or asterisks. Start up your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases and bags at awaytravel.com/Sarah. That's awaytravel.com/Sarah.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. My name is Stephen. I'm a Iraq veteran, and both my sisters are Air Force veterans and blah, 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 blah. I'm really kind of struggling, though, because on my mom's side, both my grandparents were in the Luftwaffe. And how am I supposed to be proud of not only myself being a veteran of stupid war, but also my ancestry who were part of Nazi Germany? I'm really struggling here because I don't even know what to be proud of. White guilt, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to use that term like, you know, to be offensive, but I have no idea what to be proud of anymore. I respect you. I don't agree with you all the time, but you are awesome. And you have a great platform and you've always been funny. I don't know. You probably won't hear this. So anyway.
Whoa. Got sucked into a wind tunnel. Listen, you are not your grandparents. Here's something you can be proud of. The fact that you're just even thinking about this stuff, that you're aware of this stuff, that you mull this shit over at all is impressive. That you're thoughtful, that you're mindful about it. That's the win right there. You're not your grandparents. My best friend is German. And he always says, well, but we're comics and it's fucked up. He always says, my grandfather died in Auschwitz. I'm like, what? He goes, he fell off a guard tower. All right. Not funny. And yet, funny when you're best friends. You know, the consciousness you bring to this is everything. To continue with paralyzing guilt over it is not productive. Not that you're looking to be productive, but, you know, just for your life, the happiness of your life. You don't need to just exist there. You're allowed to seek happiness. You know, pride is a very odd thing. Wait, is pride one of the deadly sins? Pride? All you can control now is how you proceed, right? Make right what you have the power to make right and carry on. I think you sound like a really swell guy. You know, raise that next generation with knowledge and gratitude. Even if that gratitude is that who your family was is not who your family is anymore. That's the power you have. That's what you have control over. You are you and no one else. And no one else in the whole world is qualified to be you, says Mr. Rogers. And you're doing great. You know, my shrink used to say, we're all in a play and everyone must play their part. And in this way, we all work together, all of us. I suppose he was paraphrasing Shakespeare now that I think about it. It's all the world's a stage and blah, 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 whatever. I have many nieces and nephews that are or were in the military, both U.S. and Israeli. I've got 5 nieces and nephews in Israel. They don't always agree with the ideology. You know, if you're Israeli, you serve 2 years in the military. No choice about it. That's it. You graduate high school and you do 2 years in the military, and then you go to college if you want to go to college. My youngest niece just started her 2 years. It's terrifying. And I have a niece and a nephew in the United States. One is a Marine, and one is, she's in Space Force. I'm wearing the hoodie today. I love it. Rory and I share this because we both, I'm dating a man that is roughly my same size. But listen, she's surrounded, by the way, she said, with Trump heads. But she does her job and she loves her job. And she's great at it. So, you know, we can pretend we are living in different worlds, but we're not. We are all in this one. All this to say, you're doing great. Don't worry about it. Don't feel guilty. You're a good guy. Carry on. What else?
Hey, Sarah. It's Carly from Southern California. Just doing my weekly ritual of smoking some weed, listening to your podcast on a Thursday. good shit. It's my favorite.
Awesome.
I'm calling because last week I got really excited by 2 callers. And one of them was talking about your voice acting as Penelope, asking how you go all the way up. That was cringy. I will leave you to voice acting. the other response that you had for a different caller was your frustration and wondering why there's no bones around the throat. And I just want to share that I am a grad student in my second year of grad school for speech-language pathology, so I do have a pretty decent understanding of the anatomy around there. And the reason why we don't have a large, like, rib cage almost is because we wouldn't be able to move our cartilage up and down and forward and back to, like, tense and lax our vocal cords to achieve those different pitches. So if you had too many bones, you wouldn't be able to go all the way up like that. So I hope that answers your question. Love you.
I love that you brought those 2 calls together. I wouldn't be able to talk like this. Is that true? But I mean, like, it doesn't have to be a rib cage. She did say there was cartilage here, because that's what I was saying. Like, why can't there even be like a sheet of cartilage so we can move, but it's also like stabby proof. I guess she knows what she's talking about. Just seems like even when I just touch my throat, it's just like, oh my God, I can like feel everything. I guess also I just have like throat phobia because I had throat emergency surgery. And I have to get my fucking tonsils out, which I guess I'll just talk about another day once it's like officially scheduled. I'm going to see my ENT tomorrow, who saved my life once and now says, you got to get them tonsils out. But I read about like getting tonsils out as an adult and it fucking sucks. And you got to clear off like 2 weeks. And also like I'm terrified of elective surgery, you know, because that's how Joan died. She was getting like nodes taken off her throat or something. It's necessary, but it's not like life or death. And then like the doctor was too jazzed about it and like took selfies with her when she was under and oh God, I know that Melissa sued them. I hope, but nothing brings back Joan Rivers, but it's shit scary. It's like, I tried to explain. It's obnoxious to say like, well, I'm famous, so I'm extra scared, but like I really no longer will get put under for any, you know, anything without someone there, like a family member or something, because that shit's real. And like being somebody that people, strangers know, you know, I'm not like Nicole Kidman famous. I'm like people feel like they went to camp with me famous, you know, like, hey, Sarah, but still, you know, it's like if I go to a restaurant and the server is like a big fan, and I have no problem with this, but my order's always wrong because they're too like distracted to like take down like mustard on the side or whatever the fuck. And then it always comes back wrong. And I don't say anything or complain because you don't, they already are going to like looking for a story to tell about, you know, meeting. You want it to be pleasurable. But take that and multiply it by surgery, you know, but this ENT is the one who did my emergency surgery when I almost died. I had a, like emergency surgery on my throat. And so he would do this one. Good story, Sarah. What else?
Hello. So this is Riley. I called in last year and asked for advice for confidence due to me being in prison and kind of going through it in there on top of getting a bunch of teeth pulled and not really knowing who I was anymore. So you ended up posting this on your Instagram.
Yeah.
And my whole world pretty much changed after that. A dentist reached out to me about my teeth from New York and offered to give me my smile back. And he was amazing, Dr. Jordan Reich out of Arc Dental of Manhattan. And I just wanted to call in and say thank you to him and his amazing team and you for doing that for me and really changing my life. I just have the utmost respect for you as a human being, and listening to you every week makes me feel better about the shit world that we live in right now. And I just wanted to say thank you so much.
Riley! Oh, I'm so glad you called back. What an update. That makes me so happy. So why is my throat all lumpy? I don't know. I'm so happy for you, but even more than that, I'm so proud of you. You know, I know how daunting it is to ask for help when you need help and to know that you deserve it. And you did. And you got it, you know? People aren't all so bad. Look for the helpers. And this dentist is a fucking mensch. And now you got your beautiful smile back. I mean, whoa. Don't waste it. This makes me so happy. Thank you so much for calling back. Man, I love hearing what happened with these calls. And so I really appreciate when you call back. And I'm just so happy for you, Riley. Man, you made my day. Thank you, friend. Hope you're well. What else?
Hi, Sarah. It's your old pal, Nathaniel. In lieu of the recent controversy of you and Rory sharing the same toothbrush.
Oh.
I just want to remind listeners that you, and I quote, floss every motherfucking goddamn day. Something you said on an early episode. And really? I actually made a little remix of you saying that. If you want to hear it, it's on SoundCloud/Glasser Comedy. Bye.
Do you guys have it?
Floss every motherfucking goddamn day.
Motherfucking goddamn day, and I floss
every motherfucking goddamn day.
Oh, that's it. That was extraordinary. I can't thank you enough. I actually think that that should be like in dance clubs. Like that's a dance remix of just a sentence. Usually you make dance remix. There are dance remixes of like songs. This is one he just made from a sentence. But I'll tell you, it was very danceable. I was chair dancing. And Dad, we are winding down. This is the time of the part of the podcast where I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And check us out on YouTube if you like watching. You like watching? Check us out on YouTube.
Hey!
Hi!
Hey, ya fucker!